Welcome to the Basic Money Matters Show, where we will discuss tools and tips to help you manage your money. Are you ready to get your finances in order? Well, here's your host, Annette Sullivan, certified public accountant and owner of Temple Management Consulting, to show us how.
In this episode, we are going to discuss personal assets. As we talked about the financial aid form, the federal financial aid form, in previous episodes, we learned that one of the most common mistakes that families make when completing that form is confusing income items, income from the family, and listing them as assets. And as I just began to think about that and think about the importance of personal assets when it comes to our finances, it's a very, very important part of all of our personal finances. And we will talk about why. I thought this would be a good time to spend a whole session in talking about what are personal assets? What can personal assets do for you? In what ways are personal assets used by outside companies, lenders, etc.? And that would also kind of help us all to understand the importance of understanding what our personal assets are and building those personal assets as a key component of our financial lives. And then finally, thought it very important to spend some time and discuss the distinction between income and personal assets, which we found was one of the common errors in filling out the FAFSA, the Federal Financial Aid Student Form. So, personal assets are simply those things that you own, those things that you actually own personally. You have to already own them. I don't mean that you don't have a mortgage or a remaining balance on a loan, but it's something that you have in your possession that you have purchased. And we're going to talk about examples of what personal assets are. Personal assets are so very important because it is the very first component of your personal net worth statement. And we're not going to talk about the net worth statement because we've discussed that before, but we are going to focus just on the personal assets aspect of it. So what are some personal assets? The most obvious one is cash. Any cash that you have. Cash that you have physically lying around under the mattress, checking account balances, savings account balances, certificates of deposits, all forms of cash is one of most people's main personal assets. So how do you value the cash? Whatever that balance is. If you have physically cash in the home, you count the cash. Of course, if you have cash in bank accounts, then whatever is in that bank account, same thing for the certificate of deposit. So that's number one. So if you were ever asked to present list all of your assets, on whether it's a loan application or financial aid form, then cash would be the first thing that you would list. And that's all of the cash. Don't forget the cash you have in the safe. Don't forget the cash that you have underneath the mattress. All of the cash. The second most common, well, I wouldn't say the second most common, but another most common asset that most people have are retirement funds. Retirement accounts, such as your 401k, 403b, IRA, whatever type of retirement account, whether you have on your own or through your employer, that is an asset, a personal asset. So how would you value that? If I were to say, list all of your assets, then you get a quarterly or a monthly statement, or you can log into your retirement account portal and you can see the market value. It is the market value. You can see the market value of the retirement account balance at that time. Now, I would like to shift back and make sure that we all have a common understanding. The value of our personal assets change day to day, week to week, and or month to month, and year to year. So you say, Annette, what makes them change? Well, first of all, assets have a value. And you and I both know that values of things can change based off of the market. So you know, with your retirement account, you have your retirement account invested in certain investments. Whether it's the 401k or IRA, those funds are invested in whatever is available or whatever you've directed. Well, you all know that obviously if you have it invested in anything, that the market price of those investments is changing on a regular basis. So that would make your retirement account balance be different today as opposed to tomorrow, as opposed to the next day. So when we talk about listing your assets or stating what your assets are, you always have to indicate at what point in time. So your assets, if you were to list your assets as of today, you would say, these are my assets as of June the 22nd, 2021. You would list them and then you would show the values of those, the market values, or in some cases, just the cost, what you paid for, depending upon the asset, as of June 22nd, 2001. If I were to ask you to list your assets 6 months later, you may have exactly the same assets, still a retirement account, still cars, still a home, still all of these various things, but the numbers will be different. Even if you didn't add any more cash, even if you had the same cash, guarantee you that your home, which is one of your assets, will have a different value 6 months later when you list your personal assets as it does today. So it's very important to know and understand that your assets values are as of a point in time. As of a point in time. So we talked about cash and we talked about retirement funds. What are other assets? Obvious, real estate. Most individuals' most valuable asset is their home. So any type of real estate that you have, so your home is your first, but you may also have investment property. Those would be assets. All real estate is your home. So for for purposes of just simply listing the assets, when you want to list real estate, you simply determine the market price as of that point in time. You can basically, you can do a basic Google search for your home, and all of these real estate companies have just a high level estimated value of your home. If you didn't want to spend money getting an appraisal, for this purpose, you could get away with that. So real estate is another asset. Your assets also include your investments. And these are investments that are separate from your retirement funds. So if you hold stocks and bonds and mutual funds, whatever type of investments that you have, you would then go to those statements and look at the value of those investments as of the point in time that you're interested for. And usually when you're listing your assets, you're listing them for the current point in time, today, or as of the end of the month. So all of your stocks and bonds and similar investments are assets. Vehicles. Your cars are assets. You list your car. The big difference between your automobiles and your investments in 401k and your home is the market value is going the other way with a car. With a home, and hopefully with your investments and retirement account, the market value is increasing because you've got them invested and the values are going up. And we know home prices can go up or down, but we're in a time where home prices are going up. But no one has a vehicle whose car value is going up. So cars are depreciating assets. So if you were to list your car today and looked up the sales price, the used car price of your car, and you put an amount there today, and I ask you to do the same thing 6 months from now, that amount would be lower. And I think we all know that, but we need to be reminded when we are putting money into vehicles, when we're trying to build our net worth, trying to build our assets, trying to get better, we need to make decisions as to what type of assets we really want to be putting our money into. Obviously, as we want to increase our personal financial life, we want to invest in assets that are going up or appreciating as much as possible. So you would list the used car price of your vehicle. You need to be realistic. Just because you paid $30,000 for it 6 months ago, you cannot put $30,000 down, because as we all know, the moment you drive off the lot, downward is the value of that car. Another asset are personal valuables, furniture, any antiques that you might have. All of your personal valuables, they all have a monetary value. Just like when you donate them to a nonprofit organization, you have to do an estimate and you have to indicate what type, where did you get your estimate from? You'll have to estimate the replacement or the used value of your assets, your personal assets, your furniture. You and I both know that if you have a bed that you're trying to get rid of, albeit you may have paid $1,000 for or $2,000 for the bedroom set, well, you're probably not going to be able to sell it for the $2,000. Whatever you could sell it for is likely what you should list it down as in your listing of personal assets. So all of your personal valuables, if you decide to list your shoes, you can list your shoes, but more than likely you would only list your shoes if you have pretty expensive shoes that hold value very well. I don't have those. You may. Other assets, life insurance policies. If you've taken out a life insurance policy, it may be considered an asset, particularly if it is a whole life insurance policy, which typically have a cash value component. If anybody owes you money, any company owes you money, any individuals owe you money, and you do have a realistic expectation that you will get that money back, that is considered a receivable, and that is an asset. So you list any monies that you expect to receive back. If you loan someone $1,000 and you know they're good for it, you list that as a receivable. You expect to receive that $1,000 back, and you list it at the amount that you expect to get back. Now, if you loaned it to a cousin who tends to not pay you back in full, I would not list the $1,000. I would simply list the amount that you think that they will realistically pay you back. So those are the typical assets that most people have. And finally, there is one more. If you have an interest in a business, particularly your own business, the value, the net worth of that business, particularly if you are 100% owner of that business or any other business, any type of interest in the business, you can list that and the value of that as well. So those are the typical assets that most people have. And you're like, well, what can I do with this information? So what if I list? So you list all those assets and then you add them up and total them. Add them up, total them. And when you list them, you have to list the market value, or the replacement cost, or the used value for vehicles, and personal value. The only time you're going to have a market value is with real estate, retirement funds, stocks and bonds, and investments. Those are generally the ones where you're going to have a market value, which is a current value. Rarely ever will the value that you list for an asset be the cost, what you paid for it, because that's an amount that is probably not going to be relevant when you sell it, and it certainly isn't relevant for an appreciating asset like your home. You may have paid $150,000 for your home, but your home is now valued at $250,000. Would you rather list it at $150,000, or would you rather list it at $250,000? You need to list it at whatever you would get for it if you sold it. That is the market value. So essentially, that's what you think in terms of all of the assets. What would I get for it if I sell it? And how do I determine that amount? So what can having assets do for you? What is the point, right? We know some things are pretty obvious. Real estate, we invest in real estate property, investment property for a reason, to flip, to make money. So assets, personal assets, can be a way to create income for you and your family and create wealth. That sounds really good, doesn't it? And it's the truth. If you are very selective about, very careful about the type of assets that you invest in, you then can and will be creating wealth and income for you and your family. Investments, obviously, you earn interest and dividends. Investments appreciate in value. So if you put $5,000 in a stock and the stock now is worth $8,000, you have created $3,000 of wealth. Yes, appreciated in value. You have created wealth. And the interest or the dividends on that stock that's coming to you, they will send you a dividend check. So that dividend check is income. So now you, by investing in a stock that is company is sending dividend checks and the price of the stock is going up. Now, from those two things, you have increased your personal wealth, additional income stream, as well as added to the value of your asset portfolio. And this is what we want to be doing, which is why it's very important to focus on appreciating assets. So what are some of the things that we do in life where our assets are considered? Some of the obvious ones are when we are applying for any type of, well, many types of credit, for example, purchasing a home or a second home or any real estate, most times we have to apply for a mortgage. And oftentimes in that mortgage application, they ask you to list your assets. And so you would go through all of these that we have discussed and list them and put a value to them. So any type of loan application, there's a high probability, whether it's a car loan, a personal loan, a mortgage, that your assets will be requested. So it is a good thing to already have on a spreadsheet all of your assets listed as of today with corresponding market values. And so at any time when you are having to complete an application and your assets are requested, you have some place to go to. And once you have this listing already done, it's just a matter of updating it then. You would add any additional assets that you obtain or take off the list any assets that you have sold and no longer own. As for the amounts, well, as we know, the amounts will change because the assets are as of a point in time. So 6 months later or 3 months later, you will look at your listing of assets and update the market values. You will see many of them, and hopefully all of them will have increased, and some may decrease. And so you'll have a new total 3 months later. So we talked about your personal assets are used for lending purposes and also for student financial aid purposes. That's the second reason. For you, for yourself, if you are going to college and have to complete the FAFSA, or you will have to complete the FAFSA for your children, then the assets for your children and yourself, but it's primarily going to be for you, will be requested and required. In most instances, it will be required. There are some exemptions to listing your assets. However, you have to qualify for the exemption to not have to list your assets for the FAFSA. And so that takes us back to what I originally said, one of the most common mistakes in completing that federal financial aid form was people by mistake listing income items as in assets. So that's what we're going to discuss now. What is the difference? How do you distinguish income from assets? And so this often happened where people received something like education benefits from the VA, things of that nature, or some other type of a veteran's benefit where you get a check or you are entitled to get monies every month to help pay for your education. So to think about income versus assets, ask yourself, do I already own this? Income is a stream of money that is coming to you, like your job income, your paycheck, right? It comes to you every 2 weeks, every other week, every month. That's income. We all know that our pay is income. When they ask for income, you know clearly what that is. That's no different than any other stream of money. Social Security benefits, that check, that's income. It is not assets because you don't have it. You may be entitled to it at this point in time in terms of getting that stream in the future, but any of us can lose a job at any time. Something can happen where your Social Security benefits can either go away or be decreased at any time. Any type of veterans benefit can, hopefully not, but something can happen and they go away. So to distinguish income from assets, assets are those things that you already own. They are in your possession. It is not a stream of money that you're entitled to have. Yes, it's a benefit. VA, dependent tuition assistance is a benefit that you have earned and are entitled to receive, but you don't have it yet. And it's going to be paid out in the future. Now, so let's say that you are entitled to receive $1,200 a month in VA educational benefits. Your child is entitled to receive $1,200. Well, the moment that your child or you receive the first $1,200, you can count that $1,200 as an asset if you keep it. If you don't spend it right away and you still have it in your hand, it's the $1,200. But you cannot count the future $1,200 for the rest of the year or the school year. Do you understand? So that is the distinguishing factor between income and assets. You have to already have or own it. So personal assets are an extremely important component of your financial life. Our charge is to grow them, invest in them, invest in those that are appreciating or increasing in value, keeping our eyes on the value of our personal assets, minimizing spending money on things that are not even going into the asset category. Minimizing. We all want to have fun. We all need to take vacations and must take vacations, enjoy life. So we will spend money on vacations and other things that bring us enjoyment. There's a balance. We don't spend all of our money on just appreciating assets. We don't spend all of our money on vacations and things that are not going towards assets, but we have a balance in life. And finally, your personal assets is the first component of your personal net worth statement. The second component are liabilities, and we'll spend some time on a separate podcast on that. We just wanted to make sure that everyone is really, really clear on what personal assets are, when you would use them, how you value them, how important they are, and how to distinguish them from income. Thank you so much for tuning in once again to Basic Money Matters, where we take the personal and business complicated items and make them easy for you to understand. Tune in. All of our episodes are aired on Hindsight Media Radio Network 103.5.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Basic Money Matters Show. Please visit our website at templemanagementconsulting.com. Be sure to tune in for the next episode of Basic Money Matters. Thanks again for joining us.